world's most popular app designed with you in mind. The WRAL News app. Download it today.
The FBI and several local law enforcement agencies are on the scene this hour of a standoff. We understand this involves one man, and so far no one has been hurt. We'll go live to that scene with what we've learned in the past 30 minutes.
Plenty of sunshine out there and warm temperatures across the deep south, which are pushing into our area. I'll show you what could be an all-time record for February coming up.
Plus, find out why the Cumberland County School Superintendent says today's school bus driver sick out could have been prevented.
We begin with that breaking news where right now Sky 5 is over the Windsor at Tryon Village Apartments in Cary, where, as you can see, there is a large contingency of law enforcement from several state and federal agencies.
The scene is near Tryon Road behind the Harris Teeter and Lazy Boy. We're told the person is involved in a standoff with authorities. This all started around 7 this morning. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is live there at the scene with what she's learned. Chelsea.
Yeah, we're here at the corner of Crossroads Manor Court and Macedonia Lake Drive. This is right off of Walnut Street in Cary, and I want to show you behind me this massive police presence. You can see here in the Lazy Boy Furniture parking lot, that mobile command center. Cary Police, Raleigh Police, Wake County Sheriff's Office on the scene, as well as the FBI. Follow along as we show you. You can see the law enforcement vehicles just lining the streets here. This is a big police presence, multiple agencies involved. And as we show you now to our left, you can see that the Windsor at Troy Village Apartments completely blocked off. No one going in or out. A large police presence inside the complex as well. Let's show you some video that we shot this morning. Police and SWAT teams with long guns have been walking in and out of the Windsor at Troy Village Apartments. Cary Police tell us they've been at this scene now for more than 12 hours. All they're saying at this point is this is an active crisis situation with one individual involved that's inside a residence in the complex. They tell me right now that no one else is involved. Police, as I mentioned, not letting anyone in or out of the complex at this time. They did let residents know that emergency services are on the scene responding to an incident and they need to stay inside their homes until told otherwise. Many residents I talked to left to run errands or get a coffee around 7 o'clock this morning, and they are still out here waiting to go inside.
My wife is locked up now in our apartment, and she's closed all the blinds, and I keep calling her every once in a while just to comfort her a little bit.
Certainly an uneasy situation to talking to Jay Smith, who's been outside now for 7 hours. You can see some of the residents here just outside of the apartment complex. They're taking shade on this warm day. A lot of residents in these townhomes here bringing them water as they too wait like us to see exactly what's going on. The good news, though, we're expected to hear from Terry Salt, the police chief here in Cary, in just about 45 minutes to learn more about what's happening inside this apartment complex here. Renee?
We know you're staying on top of the situation for us. Chelsea Donovan, live in Cary. Wake Med has a go-ahead from state regulators to move forward with plans on a new state-of-the-art behavioral health center in Knightdale. The plan would relocate 50 psychiatric inpatient beds from Broughton Hospital and add 100 inpatient beds at Wake Med. Health officials say it's a facility the area desperately needs. That means Wake County should have at least 40 mental health beds per 100,000 people. Right now in the county, the availability is well below that, with 24 beds per 100,000 people.
The warm air is with us again this afternoon. We could tie a record high today.
And tomorrow will be even warmer. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at our unusually warm temperatures.
You know what brings us the warm or the cold air is the direction the wind is coming from. So we have a solid flow coming out of the south. And the longer we see that, the more the temperatures can build. And that's exactly what's happening out there. Beautiful dry conditions out there. Just a few puffy clouds over Raleigh. This is a look at North Hills. We've hit 76. Our forecast high today, 78. We're easily going to reach that. Honestly, at 77, it's certainly possible that we would hit 80 degrees, and that would break the previous record. Our dew point is going up a little bit, too. The more warmth we bring into the area, the more moisture the atmosphere can hold. And our dew point 62, that's actually approaching something that feels a little bit more summer-like. You may notice that if you're going to be out and about. Our temperatures are going to stay in the 70s all the way until 9 o'clock. So we're going to have hours and hours with our temperatures in the
70s. It's going to feel nice out there. We've already reached 80 degrees in Fayetteville, 79 in Clinton, 73 in Rocky Mount, 64 in South Hill. That's our cool spot right now. But of course, all the warmth is coming up from the south, so our northern counties will be the last to see it. Looking at, again, a high of 83 in Fayetteville, we're looking at temperatures easily climbing into the upper 70s to even around 80 degrees. And again, the previous record for today was 78. Tomorrow, we're looking at a high of 85 degrees. That would shatter the previous record of 79, and it would be the all-time record high that we've seen in February. One thing about it is it's going to make it nice for whatever you have planned this evening. If you're taking your kids out to athletic practice, look at this. Our temperatures are going to be in the 70s all the way until 9 p.m. We eventually will see some big changes coming our way for the weekend with cooler temperatures and some showers. I'll walk you through Saturday coming up.
A protest in the form of a sick out by some drivers, bus drivers in Cumberland County had parents scrambling this morning to get their children to school. WRL broke this story this morning during our morning newscast. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is live right now after speaking with the superintendent about this issue. And Gilbert, we understand this involved parents of exceptional children.
That's right, Jeff. Unfortunately, we had 17 school bus drivers who transport children with exceptional needs to the school, and that left the parents and administrators here trying to figure out how to get those students to school campuses. And as you might imagine, it all centered around money. Now, in 2020, the state ordered the salary for a newly hired bus drivers to be set at $15 an hour. It used to be $13. The bus drivers who called in sick this morning said some of them have been on the job for nearly 20 years and in some cases only get about a dollar more than someone who just walked on the job. Now, Superintendent Dr. Marvin Conley says that's called salary compression, and he knew it was going to be a problem when the state ordered the salary change 3 years ago. Now he says the state is leaving it up to local school boards to correct the discrepancy, and he says Cumberland County just does not have the money to fix the problem.
Well, I think we have to continue to petition the state to address the compression issue statewide and not just let it be up to the local counties to solve it. It is a state issue.
Now, meanwhile, the parents of exceptional children here in Cumberland County are being told to make arrangements for their students for the next several days. The bus drivers tell me that they're going to be out sick for the rest of the week. And Dr. Conley says this is just not about bus drivers. It's about mechanics, about secretaries, or even cafeteria workers. Anyone, Jeff, who's been on the job for some time, and then all of a sudden you get a new hire who's making just as much as that person who's been on the job for some time.
Yeah, that net gets wider. It's a lot to talk about, and I'm sure they will. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays live for us this noon. Gilbert, thanks.
And while Cumberland County schools deal with a sick out, some bus drivers in Chapel Hill are legitimately sick from a COVID outbreak. 18 bus routes at Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools are canceled for a third day. More than half the transportation staff there tested positive for COVID. The school system is prioritizing elementary routes and students with special needs. A handful of students walked out of Southview High School this morning. Sky 5 flew over the school in Hope Mills as students left the building. They held signs along Elk Drive and shouted, "No means no." They are protesting sexual assaults they say happened at the school over the past year. They claim one student was raped on campus. We checked with the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office. We are told they do not have an active rape or sexual assault investigation involving anyone at the school.
Police are investigating a deadly shooting in East Durham. It happened on Holloway Street just before 9 last night. WRL's Monica Casey is there now with what we know about this situation. Monica.
Well, this was here at the intersection of Holloway and Hardy Streets. Officers responded here last night and found two men who had been shot inside a car. The driver was pronounced dead here at the scene, and the passenger was taken to the hospital with less serious injuries. This shooting looks to be just outside the ShotSpotter coverage area, which covers 3 square miles in Durham. DPD tells me they are checking on whether any nearby sensors picked up this shooting and notified them last night. We've now learned two other shootings this month were not picked up by the gunfire detection technology. Police say they've been in contact with ShotSpotter representatives, and engineers are looking into those incidents. A new report from ShotSpotter shows almost 1,000 rounds were fired in those 3 square miles in the month of January. Now, Holloway Street here reopened just after 4 o'clock this morning. This is still an active investigation, and police are asking anyone with information to come forward. Jeff?
Monica Casey, live for us in Durham this noon. Monica, thank you. One person is dead after a driver hit the rear of a truck carrying lumber. Sky 5 flew over the scene on northbound 421 near the Chatham and Lee County line around 8 this morning. Video shows the wood through the front and back windshields. A state trooper says the driver of the car died. The person's name has not been released. No word on what caused that accident.
Today, a push to end background checks on private gun sales in North Carolina could take a step forward. The state house will vote on its version of a bill to repeal the century-old pistol purchase permit law. Republicans who are backing the proposal say the process is antiquated and based on a Jim Crow law. Democrats worry it will allow people with a history of domestic violence and mental illness to get a gun. The state Senate passed a similar bill last week. Tonight, you can weigh in about a plan to build a new Dollar General along Highway 54 in Orange County. A public hearing is planned on the rezoning of the intersection at White Cross Road in Hillsboro for the store. The hearing gets underway at 5:30 over at the Orange County Main Library. The County Planning Board will review the application on March 8th.
Stocks are kind of having a seesaw effect here today, trying to rebound from yesterday's huge losses, giving back all gains for the entire year. Dow Jones Industrial Average right now up 34 points. S&P 500 is in the red right now. It's marginal territory right there, just about at even. And the NASDAQ right now is up 12 points this noon.
Next at noon, a former member of the Proud Boys testifies in Washington after pleading guilty for actions during the January 6th riot. What the North Carolina man is saying about others involved.
Also, easing child labor laws. What new guidelines could mean for teens working hazardous jobs.
Plus, at 12:30, we have new information on a wrong-way crash on I-40. What police say caused the wreck that closed all lanes overnight.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
If you need to do something to feel okay to drive, you're not okay to drive. Don't drive buzzed.
Man who pleaded guilty in connection with the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol is testifying in court this week. WRAL's Brian Schrader has a look at what he's telling the court. Brian.
Renee, Jeremy Bertino is from the Charlotte area, and he's a former Proud Boys member who pleaded guilty to a seditious conspiracy charge last year. Bertino is now testifying against Proud Boys national leader Enrique Tarrio, who you see here, and four others. All are charged with the same felony count of seditious conspiracy. This morning, jurors in Washington saw text messages from some of the defendants calling for what they said was revolution. Bertino testified yesterday that he viewed the Proud Boys group as the, quote, tip of the spear after the 2020 election. And jurors saw a text message in which Tarrio told Bertino that the group needed to mobilize on state houses after Biden was declared the winner of the election in 2020. Now, the 43-year-old Bertino has not yet been sentenced. He and the others, if convicted, could go to prison for up to 20 years.
Thanks for the update, Brian.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has agreed to pay a $5 million fine to settle allegations that it tried to hide a huge investment fund from the government. According to the Securities and Exchange Commission, the LDS Church was concerned disclosing the fund would lead to negative consequences. The SEC says the church hid an approximately $32 billion investment fund. In a statement, the LDS acknowledged mistakes were made and said it now considers the matter closed. Legislators in at least two states are proposing easing child labor protections. The new guidelines could open the door for teenagers to work in jobs that have long been considered hazardous, including jobs in construction and meatpacking plants. If it's passed, Minnesota's bill would allow 16 and 17-year-olds to work construction jobs, while Iowa's proposed change allows 14 and 15-year-olds to work certain jobs in meatpacking plants as long as they're separate from where meat is prepared and they wear the proper gear. That proposal would also protect a business from civil liability if a student worker gets sick, injured, or killed on the job.
The data is really clear that young workers have incredibly high rates of injuries on the job. And allowing young workers to do these is just about exploiting whoever they can to make a profit.
Just last week, a federal investigation uncovered 102 teenagers, some as young as 13, working overnight shifts cleaning slaughterhouses across the Midwest. As a result, the sanitation company was forced to pay $1.5 million in fines.
Today is Ash Wednesday. A local church offered blessings to go. Christ the King Lutheran Church on Walnut Street in Cary offered two Ashes to Go services this morning. The church also held worship services on site at 11 this morning. There will be two more, one at 6 and 7:30 tonight.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, at least 27 states are under a winter weather alert as millions are bracing for a really wicked snowstorm. We do have some live shots up. I want to show you this one. This is northern Iowa. You can just get a sense of what's going on in these states right now. The National Weather Service is warning that this historic winter storm is on the move, already pummeling Minnesota with what could end up being about 2 feet of snow. I am also tracking flight delays and cancellations. Right now, FlightAware, it was giving me trouble because of the amount of traffic, people trying to figure out if their flights are canceled or delayed. 2,100 flights have been canceled so far, the most in Minneapolis, Detroit, and Denver. Here at RDU, about two cancellations on arrivals and three cancellations on departures. Always a good idea to check with your flight before you head to the airport. Let's get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner. A much different story here, Elizabeth.
So we're going to take a look at that as well. Look at this. So much of the country dealing with this winter weather, all the way from the West Coast. You can see winter weather advisories here in pink, all the way through the Rockies. Michelle was just talking about Denver being one of the airports with one of the heaviest conglomerations of folks who are looking at canceled flights. And then right here, this is a blizzard warning in the middle of the country, the upper Midwest dealing with a blizzard warning with up to 2 feet of snow with winds gusting to 45 miles per hour. That's an especially dangerous situation. You know, sometimes you can attempt to get out and drive in snow if it's not too heavy and it's not blowing like this, but this is going to be an extremely dangerous situation. We look over here toward the Midwest and up around the Great Lakes. They can see up to 10 inches and also some pockets of an ice storm as well, where there could be enough ice accumulation to cause a lot of power outages. And of course, that also pushes over here into New England. So really a huge chunk of the country dealing with this massive winter storm. Once you get down here into the south, including the southeast, this is where we're seeing an incredibly different pattern. We're looking at a lot of warmth here with temperatures well above normal, well above records even. As a matter of fact, just about 5 minutes ago, we talked at the beginning of the newscast, we'd hit 77. We've hit 79 now, and that broke the previous record of 78. So we've already broken the record high for today. Lots of sunshine out there. Goldsboro, Durham, Apex, Chapel Hill, all seeing a little bit of cloud cover building. There may be some times during the afternoon where we're seeing some cloudy skies. This is the warm front that moved north of us this morning, and we have a steady flow of warm air coming up underneath it. And so much of the south is seeing that. Everything north or west of this low pressure system is where we're seeing that massive snowstorm. But for us, we'll continue to see the warm flow coming up today and tomorrow, and that's going to keep our temperatures very, very warm for this time of year. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you can see the clear skies. The 70 degree temperatures are going to linger well into the evening. Our next best chance of rain is actually still a few days away, not until Saturday. We'll see increasing clouds on Saturday morning, an increasing chance for rain during the afternoon. Some of that rain may be steady to heavy, but it does move out during the afternoon, and Sunday looks dry. But look what happens with our temperatures on Saturday. It's almost like we've moved someplace else just to see how warm it's going to be the next few days and how cold it will be on Saturday. We'll see our high temperature just after midnight Friday night at 53. When you look at the 7 day forecast, you'll see that 53, but here's what it's really going to feel like. By 9 a.m. on Saturday, it'll feel like 45, and it'll feel like 44 by noon, and we'll continue to see temperatures dropping through the 40s all through the afternoon on Saturday. So what a difference. And ironically, it'll only last for one day. We'll be near 70 on Friday and again on Sunday, and we're looking at 70s again on Tuesday. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about this potential high of 85 on Thursday and how many records that could break.
We're just going to blow that record out of the water there. Elizabeth, thank you. A squirrel nest cost a man thousands of dollars in damages. Look at this. The rodent set up shop in his car engine. His warning ahead at 4.
Plus, 40 years after their legendary NCAA tournament run, the 1983 Wolfpack reunites. Surviving members of that NC State men's basketball team will be honored at tonight's game. But first, they'll have lunch at Jimmy V's restaurant. Where else?
hear from the former players tonight at 5.
Meteorologists, WRAL News Plus, everywhere, all day and night, wherever you are.
Together. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Frontier is the latest airline to say it's changing how seats are assigned to help families sit together. The carrier says its seating system automatically assigns adjacent seats for children and at least one guardian at no extra charge. Usually, Frontier charges for seat selection. Earlier this week, United made changes to help families with children under 12 sit together without having to pay for selecting adjacent seats. All the changes come as the White House calls for airlines to make it easier for families with young children to be able to fly together. Walmart and Home Depot are seeing the effects of inflation on shoppers. Consumers are now spending more on food and then less on everything from clothing and electronics to home improvements. Home Depot yesterday said sales were flat in its most recent quarter. Walmart saw solid sales growth thanks to spending on groceries. The retailer says it's been gaining market share in groceries as higher income households shop cautiously for food. Starbucks is launching a new line of drinks infused with olive oil called Oleato. The drinks are debuting in Italy this week and will arrive in the U.S. in the spring. It took Starbucks 4 months to develop the drinks with a team of about 100 people involved. The coffee chain is looking to tap into the health benefits of olive oil, which some believe acts as an anti-inflammatory. The new drinks include an oat milk latte and cold brew that's topped with a foam infused with the oil. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Maribel, thanks. Each new iPhone release comes with a price increase, but a first-generation factory-sealed iPhone, unopened, all original, has them beat. It sold at auction this past weekend for $63,000, much higher than its original retail price, $599. Apple originally introduced the iPhone in January 2007.
Big Hero 6 fans won't have to wait much longer for the movie's themed area inside Disneyland. The San Francisco Square is set to open this summer. The area is named after the main city in the animated film Big Hero 6. It's a combination of San Francisco and Tokyo. Fans will be able to meet the robot character Baymax in the square. A cafe in Seoul is getting a lot of attention and business. What was supposed to be a showroom under construction is now a popular pop-up among young South Koreans. The shop, called Area 092, looks like a construction site and sells cake that looks like bricks. It'll only be open for 92 days, hence the name. Following that, construction will resume on the showroom.
We continue to follow breaking news out of Cary. Sky 5 giving you this live view of the apartment complex, which is at the center of an investigation. Here's what we know. A person is involved in a standoff with state and federal authorities. WRL's Chelsea Donovan has been there on the scene for hours, gathering information and talking with neighbors. We'll hear from one of those neighbors live after the break.
Also, a crash that happened overnight on I-40 caused two people to be taken to the hospital. When we come back, we'll let you know the extent of their injuries.
First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
WRAL News. Coverage you can count on. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
New information this half hour concerning that standoff in Cary. Within the last 25 minutes, we learned that this started around 11 o'clock last night as an individual who was threatening suicide in his apartment. This is taking place at Windsor at Tryon Village Apartments.
That's near Tryon Road behind the Harris Teeter and Lazy Boy. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is there live with new information she's learned. Chelsea.
Yeah, you can still see behind me the massive police presence blocking the entrance to the apartment here. We're at the corner of Crossroads Manor and Macedonia Lake Drive. We're learning now. Residents can come out on foot or they can drive, but once you're out, you can't come back in. That's the situation that happened to Jay Smith, our friend here. You've been outside your apartment now for 5.5 hours. I've been watching you kind of take refuge with some water under a shade tree. 5.5 hours you've been out here. Walk me through your morning.
Well, it started about 6:30. I left to go pick up my daughter, and when I came back an hour later, they wouldn't let me in. They said I couldn't walk or drive in. In the meantime, my wife is in the apartment. She's safe but worried, and we're just waiting, hoping the situation gets resolved.
It's definitely uneasy and unnerving. You're out here. You've been making periodic phone calls to her inside. What is she saying, seeing, experiencing?
She's a little nervous, but I told her it's not our building. It's one of the other buildings. And that building, I think, is surrounded by the police. So,
you've lived here for 5 years. You came down from New York. It's usually relatively quiet. You look around, you just see a massive police presence. I mean, what are you thinking? What have you been thinking all morning, Jay?
Haven't seen this in New York, so it's surprising. It really is.
Absolutely.
But
go ahead.
It happens anywhere, I guess.
Sure.
Unfortunately.
And of course, we're expecting here in the next 15 minutes to get an update from Chief Terry Salt with Cary Police to give us some more information about what's been happening here. We know his crew, other law enforcement agencies from around Wake County, as well as the FBI here now. So we're supposed to get a live update at 12:45. We'll bring that to you on TV and on WRAL.com. Back to you guys.
We certainly want to know what he has to say. Chelsea Donovan, thank you. New information this noon hour about a crash on I-40 East that shut down all lanes overnight. The highway confirmed in the last couple of hours a wrong-way driver caused the wreck. WRAL's Ken Smith is here now with information on how this crash happened. Ken.
Renee, this is the latest in a number of recent crashes caused by wrong-way drivers. Take a look at the video from WRAL's breaking news tracker from the scene in the eastbound lanes of I-40. The Highway Patrol says the driver of a Honda Accord was heading west in the eastbound lanes when that driver collided head-on with the driver of an Acura. State troopers say both drivers were transported to the hospital with serious injuries. We're working to find out their names and their conditions right now. Similar crashes have happened in the last 3 months. Back in November, a wrong-way driver died on I-540. That same month, four people died, including two Holly Springs High students, in a crash caused by a wrong-way driver on Highway 70. Last night's crash remains under investigation. Renee.
Ken, thanks for that update. We are waiting to learn the identity of a woman who was struck and killed in Durham overnight. It happened around 11:30 last night on Liberty Street near Holloway Street. Video from the WRAL breaking news tracker shows the police response. Investigators say the car drove off and they have yet to find the driver. A mother in Durham is speaking up after new murder charges are filed in her husband's disappearance. Three men are now charged with the killing of Sean Burton. He was a father of six and a local club promoter who hasn't been seen since last March.
This is a tremendous loss to our family. This not only affected, you know, he's a husband, a father, a son, a brother. His father just passed away last month without answers of knowing what happened to his son.
Burton was last seen being picked up and driven to Duke Street in Durham. The three men indicted for murder were already facing kidnapping and conspiracy charges.
A statewide effort to help end child hunger ramps up in Chapel Hill today. Leaders from across North Carolina are gathering for a conference to talk about the challenges affecting child nutrition programs. This conference comes a week before thousands of families will lose their additional federal food benefits from the SNAP program. Extra pandemic funding for those benefits will end March 1st. For a family of four, that means a drop from about $970 a month down to about $650. And that has a lot of folks scrambling to prepare for the additional hardship.
We're trying to stockpile food a little bit, so because we don't know how much it's really going to affect us.
Today's Child Hunger Conference will be the first in-person meeting for organizers since the pandemic. They'll focus on how to address issues with child nutrition programs.
Action could be taken today on an effort to speed up the rebuilding process after natural disasters in North Carolina. A state House committee will hear a bill to raise the dollar threshold at which state agencies can skip the formal bidding process for construction. Usually that process can add weeks or months to a project. This bill would remove some of that red tape. WRAL explored the issues of rebuilding after Hurricanes Matthew and Florence in our documentary Aftermath, North Carolina Hurricane Victims Left Behind. It's available to watch on WRAL.com. WRAL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance pressed state officials and Governor Cooper for answers on why homes are not being rebuilt. The reporting led to some shakeups in leadership at some state agencies.
A new exhibit highlighting the power of protest is coming to the North Carolina Museum of History. It's called Signs of the Times, and visitors will be able to walk in protesters' footsteps from all types of backgrounds. The exhibit includes protest artifacts like protest signs, posters, T-shirts, and more. It opens March 4th to kick off Women's History Month. The town of Plains, Georgia, is preparing for a final goodbye of its most famous resident, Jimmy Carter. The fond memories people have of the former president, who is now in hospice care.
And it was just bags of trash piling up at a landfill until an employee discovered bags of cash totaling 75 grand. What the worker did after making this find. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click report it in the WRAL News app. Take me down to the river and walk. Live at Zebulon, and our temperature, 78 degrees already, matching the record set in 2018 at RDU. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Jimmy Carter's hometown of Plains, Georgia, is bracing for his death. The small town has big pride for their favorite son.
John Shirek introduces us to the people there who are cherishing their years and decades with Mr. Carter, their neighbor, as they offer prayers for him and his family.
At Plains High School, which is now a national museum, a President's Day lesson for tourists and members of the Jackson family who are Plains residents, presidential historian Larry Cook telling them Jimmy Carter's life story, inspiring them.
He's a great person, caring person. He treats everyone like his family. We are his family, we are his friend, we are his neighbors.
Kamora Jackson, her brother Braylon, and her sister Carlasia.
To learn more about Jimmy.
Can't find out enough about their famous neighbor.
I've been in his presence and I feel like he's a great person, and learning more about him, how he carried himself, treating others like with equality. He's from Plains, I'm from Plains, so that's a lot for me.
Larry Cook, historian and Carter's friend, says there is no doubt how Mr. Carter wants to be remembered.
From knowing him for several years, I think that it's important for him, for the world to know that he was a champion of human rights.
A world leader from Plains, inspiring his young neighbors now, Braylon thinks he'd like to be president too.
To the people here in Plains, he's a friend. He's, you know, Mr. Jimmy to everybody here in Plains. When visitors come here, they experience the history of President Carter, but they walk in the footsteps of Mr. Jimmy.
That was John Shirek reporting. The 39th president, a Democrat who served one term from 1977 to 1981, could have moved anywhere after leaving the White House, right? But he returned to his home in Plains, Georgia years ago, declaring he would be buried in his front yard.
That's where his heart is. Mm-hmm. The beloved Boston Marathon dog dies after a battle with cancer. How his owner hopes the public will remember Spencer.
Forecast only on WRAL News. That's coverage you can count on.
With Cary Police Chief Terry Salt live right near that scene with an update. Let's listen in.
Members, that turned into a hostage situation with a juvenile hostage and an individual in crisis, mental health crisis. We worked diligently through the night with our partners. The agencies that have been involved at this point are on the local, state, and federal level. We have various different local agencies, Holly Springs. We've got the Raleigh PD. We've got Wake County Sheriff's Office. We've got Morrisville PD involved. We have the State Bureau of Investigation and the FBI that are assisting in this scenario. This transition throughout the night, a lot of good work by hostage negotiators. There was considerable threat to a young individual there earlier this morning around 9:45 or 10 o'clock. The negotiators were able to secure the custody of the juvenile. This situation is ongoing. It's continuing. It is now changed in phase to focusing on the hostage situation to focusing on crisis intervention. That said, there is still some risk to the public in the nearby area here, so we have to take that into consideration while we try to continue to negotiate with the suspect. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Chief, any injuries to the juvenile?
Yes, the juvenile has received a minor gunshot wound. and I can't speak to the details on that other than to say it occurred in the department before he was released.
You said wounds. The juvenile was shot more than once?
He has two wounds, one on the arm, one on the neck, and they're minor injuries.
Chief, why did it take so long to tell the public to shelter in place?
Actually, we began doing that about 4 a.m., but the issue with that is technology, to be honest with you. You know, we use various different social apps to do that, but it requires people to register for those. You know, without notifying big blocks of areas by zip codes and all, it's very difficult to zero that in. Once we got our emergency management partners in, we were able to narrow that down some. So there were multiple notifications that went out, but the WakeGov one that a lot of people tuned to could not be narrowed down in scope enough until we got there. That said, we posted officers throughout the complex to make sure that none of the citizens were put in jeopardy around the secured area.
What about the people that are inside? You said you have one male juvenile that's out. Who is left inside this apartment?
We have one male individual in the department, and I'm not at liberty at this point to discuss details on that individual.
There's no one else. It's a single situation now.
That's our understanding, and we're pretty confident in that right now.
Have you had calls to this residence before? Is there a history, Chief?
Not that we're aware of.
You talked about having issues trying to get the word out to get people to shelter in place. Is there a reason why, you know, media, we can help get the word out, why we weren't notified?
Well, media was out here earlier, and we had a PIO on scene the entire time. So that's really on you, not on us.
Well, press release, a mass press release to the stations versus just someone happening to get it.
Well, it's we were very busy with a very active situation, and to be honest with you, we need to make sure our facts are exactly right before we release a press release, and the sheltering in place thing was one of the things that we need to determine. There's less of a risk at 3 o'clock in the morning when nobody's out on the street, and we can contain that. You know, we're dealing with evacuation of surrounding apartments. We took care of that very quickly and made sure that there was no one in the surrounding apartments around this targeted location. And as a result of that, I think we kept a good timeline on it.
So it's safe to say, Chief, that the male inside, the person inside, has a weapon, or has that been recovered?
No, it's still a very active negotiation scene, and we have not made entry into the apartment.
How many people are evacuated right now?
I don't know the exact number, but we're caring for those individuals, including one with some minor medical issues that we made sure that our tactical medics and working with Wake EMS assisted in that, making sure she was taken care of.
So there was a male juvenile that you've obviously taken out with two gunshot wounds, at least that we know, and then a female.
Yes, but she... her condition was more of an existing chronic condition, and we just needed to make sure that she was cared for outside of the home.
And she's out.
And she was out early, early. Yeah.
Okay. Were both juveniles related to the person that was holding them hostage?
There was only one juvenile involved.
A male juvenile.
And I'm not ready to comment on that.
What is the risk now for the folks that you can see that are kind of sitting outside, they can't come back in, or that are inside, holed up in their apartments? What are you most concerned about, Chief?
Well, I'm concerned about school kids getting out. I'm concerned about those that are out walking their dogs. We have a perimeter set up. We are securing that. And, you know, to a lesser degree, we're concerned about, you know, people's convenience in and out. But that is a much lesser priority than the safety of individuals. We're pretty confident at this moment, but at some point, you know, decisions will have to be made. But as long as we've got good negotiations going on, and right now the FBI is doing some of the negotiation. It was earlier on, it was Cary PD. Currently, the team that's doing the negotiations, FBI.
Chief Salt, when can we expect another update?
We'll have another update no later than 3 o'clock, and hopefully we can give you some better news at that point.
Same place.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Thank you, Chief.
Have a good one.
Thanks, guys.
Cary Police Chief Terry Salt there offering a lot of information about what started with a mental health situation, a hostage situation. The hostage, a juvenile, has gotten out with a couple of gunshot wounds there. Not expected to be serious there, but still reiterating an ongoing threat there with somebody inside, most likely with the gun still.
Yeah, this ordeal has been going on for 14 hours now. Started last night around 11 when they had that mental health hostage situation. And then now that crisis intervention situation, and you heard the Cary Police Chief talk about how it is in the interest of maintaining public safety for the neighbors, for the residents there, that they are keeping a perimeter and also trying to negotiate and talk with the male who is still inside the apartment with a weapon. And so it will be still some time before folks can get in and out of that apartment complex. We're talking about the Windsor at Tryon Village Apartments. That's near Tryon Village behind the Harris Theater and the Lazy Boy, not far from Crossroads Plaza, if you're familiar with that area in Cary.
Yeah, we'll have plenty more on this, WRL.com, for the latest. We'll be right back with a look at weather.
WREL News. Now that's coverage you can count on. Now we have a new record and a tied record. Now, of course, we're not nearly finished seeing the warmth of the day. So we've tied the record already here in Raleigh at 78, the previous record set back in 2018. Certainly, we will climb up above that at least to 80 degrees. So no doubt in the next hour to 2 hours, we're going to break the record at RDU. At Fayetteville, we've already broken the record. We've hit 81, and the previous record was 79 back in 2018. And of course, we're still looking at temperatures climbing into the mid-80s tomorrow, easily smashing the previous records. So it's going to be a very warm afternoon for us. There's a live look at downtown Durham. We're beginning to see some clouds building out there, but we're not going to see those clouds bringing us any precipitation. It may be a little gray through the afternoon. Already it's 80 and we've hit 81 in Fayetteville and 78 in Raleigh, 67 still in South Hill, 73 in Rocky Mount, but that heat will continue to push up to the north with a stronger wind this afternoon. How about these warm February days? Tomorrow we're looking at 85 degrees, and if we hit it, that will be the warmest February day we've ever seen at RDU. The previous warmest was 84 back in 1977. Then in 89, it was 83. And that was also the same in 2017. And prior to that, 89. It was 82 degrees. So we've had some temperatures in the 80s, but just not that many, and certainly not one that high. All right, take a look at our February highs, especially the orange colored areas. That's where temperatures have been above normal. And we've seen that for the bulk of the month. And all of the stars that you see there are tied records. Of course, we'll add today to that. And we hit the record, broke the record on the 9th. So it's been a very warm month so far. With all this warmth, we're seeing our pollen counts starting to climb. Today, it's high for juniper, cedar, and elm. We're not seeing the pine pollen just yet, but that could happen, you know, probably in the next couple of weeks. It typically is mid to late March, but it easily could be earlier than that. And with that 85 degrees tomorrow, it's likely to climb up to very high. Now, right now, we're looking at about 200 pollen counts. We're going to have to get to some of that a little bit later on. We're going to jump on out to the 7-day forecast and talk about our temperatures as those are coming up for us. And of course, we're looking at temperatures in the 80s for the next couple of days. As we talked about earlier, Saturday will bring us some showers and temperatures feeling like 40s through the afternoon.
We'll have live updates on the standoff in Cary situation that is going on coming up in 30 minutes for you on NBC News Daily.
Also, you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app, wherever you are. Hope you have a great day.
Hey local, stay with WREL. Coverage never stops on the radio with 99.3 in Raleigh and 96.5 in Durham.